One second. So, today is Palm Sunday. I haven't prepared a message concerning Palm Sunday, but I figured I should touch on it. Actually, did a quick devotional this morning, went through Luke 19:37, and it just quickly, I just want to do a quick intro, and then before I get on to the sermon, Luke 19:37, it just draws a picture of what Palm Sunday was, and he says, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So today is Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, in which we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Palm Sunday marks the day where Jesus made his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. They call it Palm Sunday because the people rejoiced, praised God for all the mighty works that they had seen in Jesus. As Jesus entered the city, they spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from palm trees and did the same. The people were excited for the hope they foreseen in this man, Jesus Christ. They worshiped him as king, some as king over Jerusalem, and some as the true king, the Son of God. Some say this represents the welcoming of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our willingness to follow him. To me, this makes good sense. But then it is very interesting to see what follows right after his triumphant entrance. You guys know? The next title in my Bible says, Jesus cleanses the temple. This is so true for those that welcome Christ into their heart. What a rejoicing time that starts the cleansing work of Jesus in our lives. Let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you that I can call myself a son of God, a child of God. I thank you for Christ and the sufferings, the sacrifice that he did on my behalf. I thank you that as a child of God, I have opportunity to represent Christ, and I pray that I would do so this morning by your grace. I pray that you would speak through me as you will and touch the ears of those you would be speaking to. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So today's message, we'll be going through Psalm 27, with the key verse coming from verse 4. Psalm 27:4 in King James, it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." I recently came upon this verse during my devotional time. These words are recognizable to me because of singing them many times in church. It was David who wrote the psalm, and we can see in it that it was David's desire to be in the presence of the Lord. The one thing David sought at this time in his life was to dwell in the house of the Lord and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I have thought about this. I have even pondered what it would be like to stand face to face with the Lord and gaze upon his beauty. I can honestly say this is something I look forward to. I too desire to dwell in the house of the Lord as David did, and I too desire to behold his beauty and fellowship in his presence. I see this as something that will take place in the future. Unfortunately, at this time, I cannot make my way to heaven where God dwells, and I cannot yet look upon his face and live. I am here on earth, and he dwells in a place where I am not yet able to go. Although I cannot see him face to face, He has provided a different way in which I can come to be in His presence. It is in times of prayer, in times of fasting, and in times of meditating on His Word, where I have often sensed the presence of the Lord be near. I have felt His comfort in these times, and I know He is with me. It is such a blessing to call out to the Lord and know in your heart that He is listening. It is likely that some of you have heard this psalm before as well, and possibly you have even sung it in church a time or two. In those times, have you ever considered the context in which David was writing this psalm? I assume the context would be similar to a person standing in church, worshiping the Lord, or maybe a person laying in bed, praising the Lord, with thoughts of one day being by His side in heaven. But when I read all of Psalm 27, I can see where David's heart was, as well as get a better understanding of what he was going through at the time. Let's read through Psalm 27, starting with the first three verses. Psalm 27, 1-3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the wicked, even mine enemy, The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. What words stick out to you when reading these verses? When I read them, I see a picture of war and conflict, with words such as fear, afraid, the wicked, mine enemies, and my foes. David describes his enemies as desiring to eat up his flesh. They have encamped against him and rise against him. And this comes just in the first three verses. Place yourself in David's shoes for a moment. Let's say you find yourself in a situation where it feels like you are surrounded by people who are desiring to consume you. These people are wicked. They are against you and they desire to take you down. What would your response be in such a situation when you're surrounded by evildoers who desire to eat up your flesh? To be honest, I think many might first respond in fear. Then fear may turn into anger. Anger may turn into revenge. And revenge possibly would turn into vengeance. For some, this may be how we cope with situations that overwhelm us. It seems that when I face similar trials as this, my flesh first desires to respond in a similar way as I have just described. Sometimes it takes all of me to resist the temptation to lash out. It takes effort for me to yield to the Spirit of God in me. What is David's response to this chaos that has surrounded him? How does David look upon these wicked men that desire to eat up his flesh? To me, it seems that David has this uncanny confidence about him, even in this very troubling time. I love how David opens this psalm with two questions. Question one, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Second question, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What do you believe David is doing here with these questions? It appears to me that David is creating a defense for himself against the attacks of his enemies. Have you considered using such questions to battle against fearful situations in your life? I don't know about you, but I have often had battles in my mind where I find myself fretting, worrying, or becoming anxious about things which have overwhelmed me. If I were to do as David did and remind myself of where my help comes from, I would use questions like these to counteract the fear anxiety and stress in my life. Whom shall I fear? For I know the Lord is my light and my salvation. He will give me discernment in my conflict. He will bring refuge against my enemies. Why am I afraid? I know the Lord is my strength. He will equip me to persevere and endure all that comes my way. If I consider these things in the light of an attack, I will have confidence as David did, and I will not need to resort to fear, anger, revenge, or vengeance. Now, David's confidence in knowing the safety he had in the Lord did not just come out of nowhere. David had a relationship with the Lord that developed this confidence. David had a heart that desired the things of the Lord, even when afflictions were all around him. David's righteous desires worked to equip him in his times of trouble. We can see this in the key verse, Psalm 27:4. David's heart was trained to focus on godly desires. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing have I desired. This is a statement that I have pondered. If I desired one thing, what would it be? If you desired one thing right now, what would that be? Be honest. Maybe you are desiring the clock to speed up so you can go home and have lunch. Maybe you're desiring the sermon wraps up so you can go get on with your day. I know you guys are not likely thinking those things. But seriously, our desires are often shaped around our circumstances, or maybe where our heart is in the moment. Let me give you some examples of how circumstances can often shape our desires. Example one, when things are crazy at work to the point where I'm tired most of the day and can't seem to catch up on to the demands, my one greatest desire is often for the weekend to show up or to have the ability to go on a vacation. Example two, when the car won't start and the floorboards are so rusted out that the water sprays up over me when driving through a puddle, the one thing I desire may be a new truck. True story. Example three, when the boss is yelling at you and you can't seem to get it together enough to please him, your one desire may be to get a new job. Our desires are quite often shaped by our circumstances and where our heart is presently focused. Matthew 6:21 says, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." David's circumstances often found him as a target of the enemy. Perhaps you are in a time where you feel targeted by the enemy. Where does your heart lead you in these times? What is the one thing you desire when you are face to face with adversity? Some desire quick escape or quick resolution, but that is not always in our ability to control. David chose to set his desires on the Lord. He sought after being in the presence of the Lord, and he desired to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Once again, Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I believe this is where David's confidence came from. David knew who it was that could calm his fear, calm his frustrations, and allow him to have a mind set on being collected and stable, even when surrounded by his enemy. People, our hope comes in making the Lord our desire. Our hope comes in seeking to dwell in his presence. This is often done in quiet times where we can meditate on his truths and focus on his promises. When I am feeling overwhelmed by the things that are often out of my control, and when I am feeling under attack of the enemy, I do not have to fear or be afraid. What I do need is to enter a place in which I can seek the Lord and be in His presence. Doing this will allow me to challenge my thoughts that may be telling me I am a victim or telling me I am unable to make it through. It will allow me to meditate on the faithfulness of Christ and that which He has done on my behalf to overcome my enemies. David uses his time before the Lord to strengthen his heart and to remind himself of how the Lord will guard and protect his troubling times. Psalm 27:5-6. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. I have come to know that our enemy tries to come at us as if he is more powerful than the God we serve. And it is crazy how he is able to convince us of this many times in our lives. The proof he does this comes in how we as believers are often caught up in fear, anxiety, and stress. We tend to allow troubling circumstances to cause us to be fearful and afraid. And perhaps we are in circumstances that would warrant true concern. But in these times, we have an opportunity to be strengthened in the provisions of Christ. David strengthens himself in troubling times by speaking of God's provisions over him. In verse 5, he speaks of being hidden in the shelter of the Lord, and he speaks of being concealed under the cover of his tent, as well as being lifted upon a high rock. In verse 6, he speaks of how his head shall be lifted above his enemy, and how he will be free to sing praise and melody to the Lord in His holy place. David's troubling time would warrant fear for most people, but he was able to turn from fear by proclaiming the Lord's authority and the Lord's power in his situation. He came out of what could have been dismay and defeat with assurance and a voice that sang praise to the Lord. Wow, I want to use this in my life. I want to learn from David in this so I am able to turn from troubling situations to hope and praise by meditating on my Lord. David's cry to the Lord is not a situation where he's just naming it and claiming it. What I mean by this is he does not assume the Lord's provision without having responsibilities of his own. We must be careful with this as well. God is our shield and shelter as he was in David's life, but many forfeit this provision by refusing to submit to the Lord on a regular basis or by not having a relationship with him that is constantly being brought into a day-by-day renewal. In these next few verses, we will see how David applies humility in his plea to the Lord and how he turns his words to address the Lord. David began this psalm speaking of God's provision and favor on his life, but now his words are spoken as a prayer for continued favor. David now makes his plea directly to the Lord. Psalm 27:7-9. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. In verse 7, David calls to the Lord with a humble heart and asks for grace and that the Lord would answer his plea. He does not demand God's help, but graciously makes an appeal to God. God is not our servant who must answer to our every call, yet we are able to make our request to him and wait upon for how he may answer. What started as remembering the provisions of the Lord has now turned into seeking the Lord directly on behalf of the situation that is upon him. The word of God is known to David, and he uses it in his prayer to the Lord. In verse 8, we see this. You have said to me, seek my face. God's word is used here to give David direction. David remembered scripture where the Lord had directed his people to seek his face. In Isaiah 55:6, we get one reference amongst many. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do you have the word of God hidden in your heart in such a way that you are able to speak it back to the Lord to strengthen you in your inner man? Do you remember God's command that you should seek his face in the times of your own trouble? How much grief could we be saved from if we only seek the Lord first before attempting to solve issues in our own wisdom? Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This is a verse we all know, and it has so much context in our day-to-day trials if we truly believe it and apply it into our lives. As we go into verse 9, it seems David's cry to the Lord has now turned into a plea for mercy. Psalms 27:9 says, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. What just happened? Earlier, David was speaking of the Lord's provisions, protection, and how the Lord would lift him above his enemies. And now it is as if he is begging for the Lord not to leave. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Cast me not off. Do not forsake me. Why is David talking like this all of a sudden? What do you think? At first, I asked myself the same question. Why does it seem that David loses all the confidence he once had? As I looked at this a little deeper, I believe the Lord showed me what was taking place in David's heart. It wasn't that he lost confidence or that he now doubted the Lord's ability to protect and provide. It was that David recognized that he was still a man who was not perfect, a man that was not without times of failure or sin. David asks for the Lord's mercy and calls for the Lord's anger to not fall upon him. He recognizes his constant need for God's grace in his life. When we come before the Lord with our requests, we must also recognize that we need his mercy and salvation in our life. I am to look to the redeeming blood of Christ each day and not take for granted the sacrifice he made to cleanse me and to place me upon a rock. That is a rock of Christ Jesus. Daily, I look to the Lord and thank him for my salvation, as well as confess my shortcomings and trust in the justification that is mine through faith in him. Psalm 27:10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. I'm not sure if David is saying that his father and mother have actually forsaken him here. I am not aware of any scriptures that mention this. I believe that David is drawing an analogy for reference here. I believe he is saying that although this world turns against me and forsakes me, even if it is my father and mother that forsake me, I know the Lord will take me in. I know the Lord will not forsake me. We can be guilty of putting a lot of pressure on those we hold in high esteem. Pressure in the sense that we rely on them to build us up and strengthen us in our times of need. This in itself is not wrong, as we are called by the Lord to bear with one another and build each other up in the faith. The problem comes when these people may let you down. After all, they are human and will sometimes fall short in their abilities. I know my brothers and sisters in the Lord are most always going to be there for me in my times of need. But it may be sometimes that they are unable to help, or perhaps they have a moment where they have fallen short in their abilities to minister. In these times, I know I can go to the Lord with confidence, and He will be there. He will not leave or forsake me or hide His face from me. This reminds me of Psalm 121. I'm just going to read the first four verses, Psalm 121, 1-4. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This verse has lifted me up many times, and I have used it a lot to encourage others. When I call out to him, I know he will be there. After all, he doesn't sleep or slumber. David presses on in his prayer to the Lord as we read in verses 11 and 12. Psalm 27, 11 and 12. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. David makes a request to the Lord that he would bring teaching into his life. We may think we have a good grasp of Scripture, as it appears David did, but nonetheless, we will always be growing in understanding when we seek the Lord in humility and ask Him to further teach us in His truths. Those that put their trust in the Lord will seek His guidance in their life, not just the guidance that will free us from our enemies, but guidance that will show us how to live in a manner that pleases Him and produces good works for the kingdom of God. Verse 12 speaks of adversaries that rise up against, breathe out violence, and speak lies. Have you ever come up against such people or a particular person that had it out for you in this way? It seems crazy that anyone would be so driven to tear another down that they would create lies to destroy their character. Unfortunately, many of us can relate to this at one time in our life or another. The point of this message, though, is not to draw attention to those that have hurt us or seek vengeance against us, but to show us how we can be encouraged through difficult situations by seeking the Lord and making Him our one desire. David brings a close to the psalm in verses 13 and 14. He finishes with encouraging words that bring hope and further assurance, as well as instruction to wait upon the Lord. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David closes with hope, the hope that he spoke of at the beginning of the psalm. He is encouraged by the blessings of looking upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What is the land of the living? I would say it is speaking of the place in which those that are alive can be found. Those that are alive in Christ. When I am seeking to find the presence of the Lord, it often shows up in the land of the living. I find it in my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I find it in the gatherings we have here in this building. And I've seen it many times displayed in the lives of those in front of me. The goodness of the Lord is here. Sometimes it may be buried under pain, hurt, or confusion. But when it comes forth in our lives, it has power to bless and encourage. I can say it is a privilege to partake in the fellowship of believers, especially in an assembly such as this. Remember to also wait upon the Lord. David closes this psalm and reminds us to wait on the Lord. He says it twice. Sometimes patience is required, and the Lord will use patience to even test our hearts. Are we willing to wait upon Him in those times of trouble? Will we wait with assurance, knowing the Lord will not abandon or forsake us? In closing, I would like to take some time to share with you how God spoke to me the other night while I was laying in bed. The start of this week was difficult for me, and for a couple of nights I found it hard to sleep as I found myself wrestling over thoughts. Psalm 27:4 came to mind, and I labored to use it to comfort my heart. One thing I desire, Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. I repeated this a few times, hoping it would settle my mind. I thought about gazing on the beauty of His face and what that would be like. I tried repeating this verse a few times, but it wasn't working. Where is the house of the Lord? The first thought I had was that the temple was in heaven and how beautiful it would be to inquire in this temple. I thought of how amazing it would be to gaze upon His face. I cried out to the Lord, Father, I desire to be in Your temple. I want to see Your face. I want You. I don't want to be weighed down in my heart. I don't want to complain. I don't want to be troubled with things I am unable to resolve in the middle of the night. Lord, I just want to dwell in Your house. But Lord, how do I get to Your house? How do I get to Your temple where I can see Your face? I seriously asked this in my heart. I needed my heart to be comforted with His presence. Lord, how do I get there while I'm still here? I waited, and He answered. And this is how He answered. My house, my temple is before You. My church is my house. My people are where You will see my face and where You have already seen my face. God reminded me of the times I've seen Him, the many times. Here in this place, I have seen Him in the face of Diane, who has looked at me many times with a face bearing a mother's love and approval, and arms that wrap around me as my mother's once did. I have seen Him in my wife when she stands beside me because she senses I am weighed and burdened by the pressures of ministry. I have seen Him in my kids when they allow me to teach them of God's truths, or when they tell me they are praying for me because they know I am in a spiritual battle. I have seen Him in my wounded cousin whom the Lord prompted me to say, I love you. I have seen Him in those I have discipled over the phone who have put up with my mistakes, my impatience, and my shortcomings. I have seen Him in the new people who have come to this church and are looking for a home. I have seen Him in those that have comforted me when my mom passed away. I have seen Him in my co-elders when we have prayed and sought the Lord together. I have seen the Lord in many people over many years. But I've also seen the pain of the Lord in the church as well. I have seen it on those whose families are in trouble. I have seen it on those that carry the wounds of unguarded words. And I've seen it in my pastor at times who carries the weight of lead shepherd amongst this flock. What am I trying to say with all of this? You are each the temple of the Lord. I am a temple of the Lord. Together we make up the house of the Lord. I cannot yet be in the physical presence of the Lord. That day will come, and I look forward to it. I am, though, in the spiritual presence of the Lord each day. And when I come to church, I have an opportunity to see the presence of the Lord in many people. It isn't always present in some. There are days where it may not be present in me. For this, I apologize. But my desire is to be Christ-like and to represent Him as much as I can. Please forgive me for when I have fallen short. And please forgive others when they have fallen short. My final words is just a reference that I found in the ESV study Bible notes. It says this about Psalm 27. It says, in singing Psalm 27, God's people have a way of not simply expressing confidence in Him, but of cultivating that confidence for the widest range of challenging life situations. The psalm uses several synonyms for enemies. We find that in verse 2, verse 6, 11, and 12. Giving it the concrete setting of a faithful person beset by those who would destroy him with bloodthirsty and deceitful means. One who can trust God in those circumstances can trust Him in other situations as well. Let's close in prayer. And Father, I thank You that You have given us hope. Lord, that even in trials and troubling times, Lord, that we can draw near to You. Sometimes it is quiet in our quiet times before You alone, and sometimes it is with the fellowship of brothers and sisters as we are doing today. I pray that You would strengthen us through the power of Your word, and that it would minister to our hearts and build us up, and that we would be responsible in building up others as well. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.